This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. From cod to lobster, it's no secret that New England's fisheries are suffering at the hands of rising water temperatures and ecological shifts related to climate change. But sometimes it just smacks you in the face. This past week alone, one new assessment found no improvement in the Gulf of Maine shrimp fishery, which has been closed for 5 years. And another study linked rising water temperatures to the spread of a shell disease that has hit lobsters in southern New England hard in recent years. Joining me now for a big picture look at New England's fisheries and how they're facing up to climate change is Andrew Pershing. He's Chief Scientific Officer for the Gulf of Maine Research Institute. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hi.
If you had to sum up the impacts of climate change on our fisheries, knowing that, of course, there are dozens of different fisheries, like in one sentence, is it just climate change is clobbering our fisheries, or is that a little too maybe pessimistic?
Yeah, that's a little too pessimistic. I think with any big change in the system, I mean, you're going to have some winners and you're going to have some losers. And we really are seeing that play out in the fisheries here in New England.
What are some of the winners? Let's start with that.
So some of the winners that we've seen, you'd have to really put lobster in Maine and New Hampshire and kind of, you know, north of Cape Cod in the winner category, where the warming over the last 30 years has been a real boon to that population, and it's helped them achieve the record catches that that people in Maine have had over the last 3 or 4 years.
But at the same time, in southern New England, those warming waters have been the cause of a decline, both the warmer waters contributing to, like, making it too hot, essentially, for baby lobsters, and now it seems also contributing to the spread of this shell disease. So are fishermen in Maine, while they're enjoying their warming-related boom, are they also kind of looking ahead with a little bit of trepidation?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you look at the global trends, you look at the warming rate that we've had in the Gulf of Maine, which stands out on a global basis, and it looks like while the conditions have been really great for producing lobsters in the northern Gulf of Maine over the last say decade or so, it doesn't take much more warming to start to push us over the edge where temperature will start to constrain the population a little bit and catches you would expect would gradually decline.
In the case of lobster in southern New England, it seems like the rising water temperatures have been an integral factor in the decline of the population. But when we look at others like cod or shrimp in the Gulf of Maine, those seemed to start out as overfishing stories, that these populations crashed because they'd been fished too hard. But then climate change came in as a factor keeping those populations from recovering. Is that a trend that we're seeing more broadly?
I think one of the things that we're seeing as we look at the fisheries here in the Gulf of Maine and as we look at fisheries around the world is that the interaction between climate and between fishing are really intricate. And overfishing is sort of a relative concept. And I think shrimp is a really good example of that, where you wouldn't look at how that fishery was managed and say that there was anything that they were doing that was leading to higher catches. It's just the environment was changing so fast that the level of fishing was not in keeping with the environment. And I think cod are a similar story. What a sustainable level of fishing looks like is changing year after year as the waters get warmer.
When we think about the timing of these, the year 2012 seems to stand out, maybe not exactly for the shrimp, but that's when we started to see these really dire assessments of the cod population. That's been cited as kind of a year where it was a real turning point for the lobster population. Is your sense that that's a year where maybe we started figuring this out, or was there some sort of abrupt change that happened? I mean, we tend to think about climate change as being a kind of gradual thing, but did something happen abruptly 5 to 10 years ago in New England's waters?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you look at the temperature data, you see that yes, there is an overall trend, and that trend is really strong. But it kind of has come in pulses, and the most recent pulse, and it's the most extreme one, happened in 2012, and we had record temperatures basically every day in the Gulf of Maine during 2012, and we've been over a degree Celsius above average every year since 2012.
Do we know why the waters in the Gulf of Maine and off the northeast coast of the Atlantic? Like, why are we warming so much more rapidly than other parts of the ocean?
It's a great question. It's something where I think the physical oceanographic community is starting to really cue in that something unusual is happening, and a picture is definitely starting to emerge. And what we're seeing is that the changes here are part of a larger pattern of change in the North Atlantic. As you warm up the climate over the North Atlantic, you put a little bit of extra fresh water in, mostly due to melting around Greenland. That disrupts the whole circulation of the North Atlantic. And one of the consequences is that the left side of the Atlantic, which is our region, and the right side north of Norway, both of them warm up at a much higher rate, basically as warm waters start to push in from the south into those systems.
You already mentioned that at least in the past 5 to 10 years, the rate of change in our waters has just been faster than the regulatory system has maybe been able to keep up with. And in general, a lot of our kind of permitting systems for fishermen are based on history. Are we seeing any change in that? Because clearly the past is not a good indicator of what fishermen in the fishing industry are facing now or in 5, 10, or 20 years into the future.
Yeah, this is a big, big challenge to fishery management all over the world. I think there have been some really positive steps in our region. The Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission that regulates a lot of the state-by-state fisheries has really had to deal with this and has done some really interesting and somewhat progressive things about trying to adjust how quotas are allocated among the different states and allow for some additional, basically recognizing that some of the species that used to be, in the south and fished in Carolinas and in Virginia are now off of the door of Rhode Island and Massachusetts.
Well, you mentioned this quota system that is how many of our fisheries are regulated at this point. It's kind of a recent introduction for us, but another study out this past week looked at how the quota system has played out in a number of places in Europe where it's been around in some cases since the 70s. And they found that people were maybe a little too optimistic about what this system of management could do. And they actually called it panacea thinking, that we had this mistaken idea about fisheries, that if we just found the right regulatory mechanism, it would solve all of our problems. Do you see that in New England's fisheries?
I think what we're seeing in New England is just the challenge that a quota system, I think, can work and can be an effective tool, but it requires a really, really high level of scientific advice. So it really depends on accurate, frequent, timely stock assessments, so estimates of how many fish are out there, how fast they're growing, and how what fishing level they can sustain. And that's been a huge challenge in the quota system that we have, especially around groundfish, where as many of these species have become, we think, stressed due to the warming waters, the accuracy of those assessments comes into question, and it gets really hard to be confidently set limits for the fisheries.
Mentioning the fact that these more forward-looking types of regulatory systems are going to need more data. I mean, are there resources coming either to government scientists or to private or academic scientists to actually produce all the data that we would need for this?
No. And in fact, there's actually it's actually getting harder and harder to do this. So the federal scientists who bear a lot of the burden of doing the operational stock assessments are, working really fast to try to get these out in the way that the regulatory system needs it. But those models require data, and those data streams are actually becoming stressed. Not so much in fisheries, although we're seeing some deferred maintenance on the survey vessels and some challenges in keeping the boats in the water to bring the data in. But we're really seeing this in the oceanographic side, where the buoy network in the Gulf of Maine, that's a really important tool, has had missing buoys that were out this year. The plankton surveys that really aren't plankton surveys going on in the Gulf of Maine anymore, and that's the base of the food chain, and that's really essential for knowing what's going on for species like cod, but also for species like the endangered right whale.
So what tools do we have in our tool belt at this point that might be effective ways to deal with the rapid changes that are happening in our fisheries?
Well, there are a couple of things that we've seen emerge in our work. And so one of them is that really good fishery management is essential. So making sure that species aren't overfished and that you have a precautionary approach is really important. And we see that especially when you compare lobster to cod, where lobsters had a really strong conservation program that lobstermen in Maine, put in generations ago, and that's helped them to realize the booms that they've had. Whereas cod were already overfished when we started to see them hit by warming waters, and that just makes managing that stock so much more challenging. But then I think the other thing that we're starting to think more about is how do you shift from this backwards-looking, historical-based view of fisheries and start to think about what is the fishery going to look like in 5 to 10 years? What are the water temperatures likely to be like? And what fishing levels do you need in order to keep the stock where you want it over that time? And it's really, really challenging to do that. It requires a whole new set of modeling tools. It requires more data. And it's just going to be a big lift.
So, I mean, we're typically told that, U.S. fisheries are managed with the best science. And that if you see something in the store that was caught in the United States, it's sustainably fished. Does climate change call that into question? I mean, should we be rethinking our fish eating and our fish consumption patterns?
I don't think we need to do that. I think the U.S. fisheries, yes, there are challenges, but I think we have a system in place that over time will figure it out. And the fish have been caught, and I think I feel pretty good eating fish right now. I mean, the other thing I think about is that the big challenge here is the fact that we live on a planet that's warming, that has too much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and fish is actually has a much lower carbon footprint than many other sources of protein.
That's Andrew Pershing. He is the Chief Scientific Officer for the Gulf of Maine Research Institute. Andy, thanks so much.
Thank you. This is fun.